Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
The inclusiveness of the kingdom. There's an inclusiveness in the kingdom that is beyond our limited understanding. It actually goes through generations, and it has an impact into eternity. And, you know, the thing we need to understand is that God speaks to us, but he gives us direction now, but he always reveals something of the future that's coming. It is always God talks to us, and he begins to prepare us for what's coming. And so I'm just going to share this, and then we'll see how the thing unfolds into the future. So I think there's two things to understand. Firstly, there's the finished work of Christ. Just understand that Christ died on the cross once and for all. There's certain things that Christ did only happened once, never ever going to be repeated. All right, there's the finished work of Christ. But there's also the unfinished and the continuous work of Christ.
Yeah.
All right? And that is what we're actually called to. So, you know, Jesus spent a lot of time investing his time into 12 individuals, and then he released them to continue to what he did. And so that scripture in Isaiah, which is Isaiah 61, 1 to 2, which is where Jesus goes into the synagogue and he unrolls Isaiah and he begins to say this, begins to read this portion of scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Did that end at the cross? No, it did not. That same scripture goes straight through the cross, goes straight through to us, and every single person that is called by his name, that carries the Spirit of God, that is our mandate. It's to destroy the works of the enemy. That is the mandate that we carry. So it's important for us to understand. And so I'm going to just quickly, there were 9 points that Chris actually wrote about. And I'm just going to quickly go through them, and then I'm going to come back to them if that's okay.
Yeah, good.
All right. So first point, all of God's people, motivated by all of God's love, living in all of God's truth, so that all become priests, releasing all of the gifts in all of the churches, so that all become leaders, to discharge all of the duties of a ministry in all the nations. How's that? All right? So that's him. That's not me. Yeah, it's amazing, huh? And really, and so I'm going to just expound on a few of these things as I felt God stir them in my own heart. All right? So firstly, let's go back to all of God's people. So I love the inclusivity of this thing. Because when God actually talks about all of his people, it is more than what we can see. It's beyond what we see in this room. It's beyond what we have in our local fellowship. It's all of God's people. And it's from the youngest to the oldest. From the day that you have the Spirit of God in the youngest of all believers, to the one that's going to suck his last breath of air tomorrow, it is inclusive of everybody. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. All right? Genuinely, we don't get a baby Holy Spirit and we have to go through 57 courses before we get released into what God has called us for. We get the full measure of the Holy Spirit in everything, but we have to begin to learn to listen to his voice and to partner with him. And so it's an all-inclusive thing from the youngest to the oldest, from the newest Christian to the most mature. So we have an age group, but we also have a maturity in Christ. So you can be born again 1 second and lead somebody else to the Lord. That's how it works in the kingdom. And so it's all inclusive of culture, race, and language. There is nobody on this planet that has the Spirit of God in them that is excluded. And it's very, very important to understand that. And one of the key things for us is in our transition into what God has called us for is we have to begin to firstly understand, and we've been talking about our identity in Christ. Firstly, who we are in Christ, and then secondly, the mandate or the call on our lives. And it's that call we have to be sure on, because I can tell you now, there will be times that we'll come against opposition, there will be times that will be difficult, and we have to be secure and sure in our call and what God has actually called us to, individually, but also corporately. Yeah. So there you have to begin for us to understand is that this thing that God has called us to, He does not make a mistake. God, in all His sovereignty and His wisdom, does not make a mistake when He calls individuals to certain things, either collectively as a body or individually. And He does not ever make a mistake. He knows exactly who He's called and why He's called them and the purpose and the outworking of that thing. And for us, as we have to trust Him and hear His voice and walk in it, knowing that it's Him doing it and we are just the vessel. And so it's a critical thing for understand. Every part in operation, in full capacity. Amen. Can I say this? All right. Serving Jesus is actually not for the faint-hearted. Really. You're going to have a look and see how many times God calls His leaders to say, be bold and courageous. You go and have a look at them, and you can actually go through them in the Old Testament and see how many times God talks to these people and says, you have to be bold and courageous. And so the interesting thing is this, in all of this, you know, we walk in seasons in our lives, and sometimes we're not firing on all cylinders. But let me say this that does not disqualify you. It does not disqualify you. What qualifies you is that you carry the Almighty God, the Spirit of God living within you. Yeah. And He has qualified you. Yeah. And it's a critical thing for us to grasp. So motivated by all of God's love. Why should we do it? What's the motivation? It's God's love for us. Yeah. You know, when we begin to look at God's love, we cannot separate it from His grace. And we cannot separate it from His mercy. And we cannot separate it from His kindness. And we cannot separate God's love from His forgiveness. And so there's a width and a depth and a height and a length of each one of those truths that have no limit according to human definition. God always has enough love. He always has enough grace. He will never run out of mercy and He will never run out of kindness. And so there's a width that goes to all peoples. It's wide enough. God's love is wide enough for all peoples. God's depth, the depth of God's love, is deep enough to cover the worst unspeakable sin. There's nothing that the blood of Christ cannot cover. There's nothing that we can ever do that the blood of Christ cannot redeem. Let that settle in your heart. Irrespective of your background, irrespective of the mistakes you made today, there's nothing that the blood of Christ cannot redeem and cover. And so there's a depth that is immeasurable. What about the heights? We get to fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That love takes us to the courtroom of heaven. We have the ability and we have the gift that God gives us of His grace that can cover us, that we become holy in His sight, that we can come into the presence of His holiness, into the throne room of heaven. We can come with boldness and we can approach Him with boldness. Why? Not because He's a grumpy old man, but because He's a loving Father and He welcomes us. I have never, ever seen God turn away from somebody that has asked for forgiveness. Never. I've never seen God ever reject somebody that's turned their heart and their face towards Him. Ever. What about the length? How about eternity? How does that sound? Will God run out of love? Will He run out of mercy? No, it extends into eternity. How long is eternity? 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 100 million years? Beyond that, that's a measure. Eternity is immeasurable. And so we have a God that has absolutely no limits or any boundaries apart from those that He sets upon Himself. In other words, He will never lie. He will never be unfaithful. So He is absolutely immeasurable. There are no boundaries except those which He decrees Himself. What about living in all of God's truth? We have to live in the full counsel and the truth of God's word. We cannot be selective. Let me say that again. We have to live in the full counsel and the truth of God's word. 100%. Now, it is a journey for us to walk in it, right? As we respond to the Holy Spirit. But we cannot be selective and choose things and modify truth to fit into us. The Word of God is the ultimate authority. And for us to live in what God has got for us is we have to adjust our lives that we live in accordance to what His Word, with the given Word and the spoken Word that He's given us and the written Word. And it's a critical thing for us to understand, because I tell you now, if we're off by a degree, that thing will not sustain us on what God's got for us. So we, as we walk through life and we find ourselves drifting away from what God is saying to us, we have to say, God, please help us to come back and to walk in the truth that you have for us. And so we have to be unapologetic about the Word of God. We have to live in the Word of God as He says it. So, I mean, I've heard people say, well, that was for another time. God didn't really mean it like that. Actually, yes, He did. If God is God, then why didn't He say it like He intended it? He said it exactly like He intended it. And for us, the truth and the Word of God is where we find life and we find freedom and we find the things and the life in Christ that we're actually looking for. The fruitfulness that we desire and the peace we desire in our lives is dependent on how we line ourselves up with the Word of God and how we respond to His Spirit as He leads us. So what does it say? What does the truth of God's Word say? Well, it says that we're a nation, that we're a people from every tribe and tongue. Think about that. It says that we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. It says that we are His workmanship. Can I say that we're in a work in progress? Christ is busy changing us and conforming us into His image. It's not us trying to fit Jesus into our life the way we want Him to be. And so it's Jesus 100%, nothing less, nothing more. That's what it is. As soon as we take Jesus and we start adding on things, then we start heading into legalism. As soon as we take Jesus and we start taking away things, then we're not living in the truth of what God's Word is and what God says Jesus is and who Jesus is to us. And so as we are building, we're living stones, we're a temple, and that we are holy, pure, spotless, unblemished. Do you know how long it took me to learn to live in that? There's only two people that know what I'm really like, and not even my wife, and that's me and Jesus, I promise you. Only He knows what goes on in my heart. And it's by His blood that He makes us holy, pure, spotless, and blemished. What does the truth of God's Word say? It says we're a body. That means we're an extension of Christ. Right? We're an extension of Christ. And so how is this world ever going to see and get to know Jesus and live in what we have experienced? Unless we take Jesus to them. We might get a few come to church, but I tell you what, the harvest is out there. But we have to go to them. What about being a body, a bride? The bride, beautiful, reserved for the King. Family. Can I say that for me, this is one of the most amazing things of the body, is that we this thing called family. You know, I've shared with some of you guys that Kim and I were part of a church for 28 years. And almost a year before I left, God began to stir my heart that we were going to leave. And even in a year, I couldn't prepare myself because of how God had knitted our hearts. And then, when we came up here, because we were thinking of going to Zambia, it took us a long time to find somewhere where our hearts would connect. And then He gave us you guys. Shame. No, but it's true. And I promise you, I can remember standing there, and when I said goodbye, and when we said goodbye and we were moving, in my mind, I had some of my blood family with me and my spiritual family. There was no line between the two. Those guys are actually closer to me than what my blood family are. Even today. It's an amazing thing. So it's not like I've been taken from one and then added. It's an addition. That's how the kingdom works. There's always increase. And it's always an increase. So I have a high expectation of you, Axel, just today. But that's true. That's how it works. The kingdom works like that. I promise you, the kingdom works like that. That's how it is. So, no orphans in the kingdom. That's a wonderful thing. In the church, no one should ever be lonely. No one should ever feel alone. God has put fathers, spiritual fathers, mothers, brothers in this thing. And it's glorious. It's the most beautiful thing on the planet when it works like it should. The one thing that we need to understand as well, because it's fine enjoying all these benefits, but also that we're called to be an army. And in the army, it actually gets tough. Let's be honest. If we're going to go and destroy the works of the enemy, there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be hardship, we're going to have to overcome. But he is in us. And so when we begin to look and live in some of the things that God is going to lead us into the future, is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. If it was going to be easy, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. But because of Christ in us, Christ with us, Christ through us, we will look back in 30, 40 years from now, and we will be amazed in what God has done with us and through us and the inheritance we have. So we've spoken about all becoming priests. We've been covering that, all right? But it's true, right? So we minister to people on behalf of God, and we minister to God on behalf of people. I'm not going to go through that now because we have covered that, and I'm sure we're going to be exploring that as we go into the future. Releasing all of the gifts. Well, we know that Christ himself gave the church the fivefold ministry, which is apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, for the equipping of saints for the work of service. So while it is a family, there's work to be done. Really, there's work to be done. What about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? This is quite amazing. So, do you know that the gifts in you are not for you? Yeah. They're for others. And it's the gifts that Christ gives to others are for you. It's amazing, eh? So I begin to look at the gifts, and this is quite amazing. So I found 6 different lists in the New Testament. And the thing for me that was really amazing, because I not only looked at them, but I read some of the commentaries on them. And so there's 6 different lists. And the interesting thing, there's not one of them is the same as the other. The lists are all different. And they're quite different. And it actually appears is that they were almost randomly written down. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit, that all the Word of God is Holy Spirit inspired. But as I looked at it, the conclusion that I personally come to and what the commentary comes to is that God did that for a reason. It's because there's no hierarchy when it comes to the gifts. When you begin to look, sometimes God does things and he writes them in a very, very specific way. And the reason he does that, because he wants us to begin to learn things and do certain things a certain way. But then there are some things that he gives us that are like totally random. And we need to begin to understand there are no big gifts and no little gifts. Yeah. Mm, yeah. There's only Holy Spirit. One size fits all. Holy Spirit. It is. I promise you. And for us, it's the little things that count. In our human thing, we think, well, the guy that's preaching is the main oak. No, it's not. It's mostly the little person that you don't see what they do. And that's confirmed in Scripture if you go and read about the gifts in Ephesians. So I'm going to just quickly read this to you. I'm not going to go through them, but I just want to show you how diverse they are. So in 1 Corinthians 12:28, apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, helps, administration, and tongues. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:8 to 9, there's nine of them. So first one, there was eight. So there's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation. So there's duplications in some of them, but they're not the same. Then Ephesians in 4:11, it's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Then in Romans 12:6-8, you've got prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing. That's interesting. All right. Leadership, mercy. And we know that Jesus, before he healed, he was filled with compassion. You can read it every single time. The ability to see through God's eyes. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, there's two of them. How's this? Marriage and celibacy. My wife will say marriage is the greatest gift of all. I promise you, if you look what my poor wife has had to put up with me, for the people that know me, she's the most amazing lady. But I'm telling you, marriage, to be faithful and to walk out your marriage the way God has called you to, you have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. For sure.
Yeah.
What about in Peter? Peter 4:11. Whoever speaks, whoever renders service. How wide is that? 22 listed in total. There are others. But he has a beautiful thing. All of them have multiple expressions. So it's not like there's 22. There's 22 times 22 times 22. Yeah. Because there's multiple expressions of this thing. They can differ greatly. The anointing that you walk in them can differ greatly. How you walk them in and what God calls you to and the situations we find ourselves in can differ greatly. So let's use an example. Helps, right? Think about if you were a doctor. Think about it if you were a mechanic. Think about if you were a builder or a hairdresser. I'm just taking diverse things. Imagine what you can do with your gifting for others. Just in those four things. So no one has none, huh? And actually, we have mostly have more than one. There's not one single person that has none. So what do you do if you say, if you don't know what they are? Well, why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into that, number one. And number two, you really want to find out where your gifting is? Fill a gap that you see. I'm telling you, you want to walk in anointing. Start serving others. And do it with the things nobody else wants to do. Because that's how it works in the kingdom. It's when we begin to lay down our lives for others. The most amazing example is Jesus. Yeah, we have the one who with one word created light. Let there be light. And there was light. The one that created the galaxies. Yet he takes off his robe and he washes the feet of 12 disciples. 12 smelly men. The king of the universe that commands legions of angels. Fill the gap. I'm telling you, when we walk into new multi-sites and all the things that God has got for us in the future, however that goes, I'm telling you, we're going to have to fill the gap.
So good, Gary.
In all of the churches. Another amazing thing that I found out is that there's no actual specific description of what a church should look like in the New Testament. There's a description of the leadership, elders, deacons, and then we have saints, right? That's the church. But there's no specific pattern saying, three songs, two fast ones, one slow one, take the tithes up before that, then we have coffee, at church should only be 2 hours. Yes. None of that. Why? Because we're absolutely unique. The leadership that God has entrusted with each local body is absolutely unique. There's no two like it. And the people that God has brought together in the local church, there's no two like it. We are absolutely unique in everything we are. So how can there be a model to say we must copy, paste, cookie cutter? No, as we respond to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we walk in what He's called us to. The other thing which that says to me is that if that's the case, then actually we are irreplaceable. There's a consequence if we do not live in what God has called us to. Really. And that for me is, it's not a negative thing. It's just thinking, God, if you've done this for us, we are absolutely unique. We are precious. So that all become leaders. The world is so full of bad examples. Yet when you look at what God has for His people, He has leaders who carry His heart. And if we carry His heart, that means that they want the very best for you. And they want to see you walk in the fullness of what God has called you to. So everyone is called to be leaders. You know that in the Bible, it doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say, go to all nations and make believers. Do you know that even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's not what it's about. It's not about believing in Jesus. It's about being a disciple of Jesus. It's about following Him. And that's what we're actually called to do. And so actually we're all called to be leaders. All of us are called to lead. And whether it be in the local church, whether in our families, whether we lead in the marketplace, where God has placed us, we are the light that point to a preferred future. We carry the message that will cause people to have a different destiny for all eternity. And so it's in the church, the marketplace, the schools, wherever God has placed us. So, next point, to discharge all the duties of our ministry. I won't go into that too much, but it's the great commandment and the great commission. So can I say the great commandment? Great equals great passion. We have to be unreserved in our love, not only for our Heavenly Father and for our Savior, but also for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Irrespective of the spot and wrinkle they might have, just like us. We are not perfect. But because of what He's done in us, He considers us perfect. Impacting all of the nations, from our neighbors to the nations. And my sole contribution is point 10, His name, His kingdom, His glory, His honor. The rest is all from Chris. Amazing. It has to be Patty. We have one King who's both Lord and Savior. We cannot have Him as Savior alone. Has to be both Lord and Savior. So how do we do that? How do we go about that? I mean, I thought about it practically, you know, and my simple conclusion is this, is that life is all about firsts. It's all about the first. Everything great, everything you can see started somewhere with the sum total of one. When we were born, we took our first breath. When we began to walk, we took our first step. When we rode our bicycle on our own, we did it for the first time without the training wheels and our dad or mom holding onto the saddle. What about when we loved somebody for the first time? What did that feel like inside? What about when we kissed somebody for the first time, even if it was our mother? What about when we kiss somebody for the first time that wasn't our mother?
Yeah, I like that.
It's real, guys. It's life. No? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. How do you think your kids got you? They didn't just... Eh? Started with a kiss. Of course it started with a kiss. Yes. What about our first day at school, our first day at work? What about the first day we tasted chocolate? Yes. There was a first for everything somewhere. What about the first time we read our Bible? What about the first time we prayed for somebody? What about the first time we served somebody? What about the first time we saved someone to the Lord? What about the first time we taught somebody the Word of God? What about the first time we heard God's voice and we did what He said without questioning Him? See, all of God's people, motivated all by all of God's love, living in all of God's truth, so that all become priests, releasing all of the gifts in all of the churches, so that all become leaders to discharge all the duties of our ministry, to impact all of the nations for His name, His kingdom, His glory, His honor. How does it start? It starts with the invitation. If you go to Jesus and you have a look at what He, when He called His disciples, what did He say? And I can use Simon as an example, or Peter. He said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So it always starts with an invitation. Jesus always calls us. He never forces us. He will never drag us. But He'll invite us and He'll say, come follow me. And there's an invitation. And His promise is, I will make you. It's not our job to build the church. He will build the church. Our job is to follow Him.